been called Benesiva Yisamuna. It's obviously a much bigger sefer than I sent you. If you can see here, it's a fat sefer. However, the part that I sent you was the first edition of this sefer that was printed in the year, I don't know, Tavshin, in the 1950s by a person named Rav Tzvi Markowitz, Zichrono Livracha, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the Chasheva Talmidim of the Chazayin Ish. He ended up being a Rashiva in Karlin Stalin in Eretz Yisrael. He was from, over the last 25-30 years, from the Gedolei Hadar in Eretz Yisrael. And he printed this little pamphlet, he called it, this kuntres that I sent to you, that the Chazon Ish actually saw it and said it's a very important thing for people to see and to learn, and therefore I thought it would be a good idea to go through parts of it, or if not the whole thing. And it gives as the name of the sefer has been Nesiva Emuna, means the pathways of Emuna, which hopefully will give you a little bit of of an insight, or maybe a new light, or some chedushim, or if not, it's just a good review of Yisoida Se'amuna and Klal Yisrael. How that fits into the philosophy of education, that's an extra credit question on the final. He starts as follows. Parak Rishon, Haderech Alo Amuna. I will admit it's written in pretty serious Ivrit. I don't say I know the translation to every single word. I'll admit it right here, so if I skip over it, might mean that I don't know what exactly it means, but I'll give you the context and the idea, obviously. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Hadarech alo amuna. Jerachim rabbi smalicha et alo amuna. Harbe jerachim ushvilim mavilim l'amuna. There are many different ways that a person could come to a true amuna in the Rabban Shalom. Derech hergish, ha'higayin, ha'madda, v'ho'iyin. There's through emotions, there's through thinking about it, there's through studying it. Throughout the world, in the cosmos, that's the word over there, there's many different ways that a person could look around the world and look at the Bria, and you should be able to gain and strengthen your amuna from there. Like we say, Hashemayim mesaprin kvoit kel, umasa yalda magid arakia, yom liyom yabi oimer, v'lai lai lecha vedoas. Not only that, ba'atzmus havaya sa'odom, hagashosai b'chele kol ikisha boi. When a person deals with himself, when a person thinks about man, and he realizes, and he feels that he has the chelek of Hashem in him, mahus ha'nefesh, these are things that could bring a person, if a person thinks about and realizes who they are and what they are and where they are, so a person could come to a hakara of the Rabbein Shalom. The Rabbi Brevd always says over that he's trying to explain he once said this over, he said it over to different seminaries in Eretz Yisrael and in other places. So he would give a mashal of how a person's supposed to understand who they are. And his mashal was that if you have a lady who's working in an office, in his example, in Bnei Brak, in Tel Aviv, in the middle of the hot, humid summer, and there's no air conditioning, and she's sweating away, and it's hot, and she's sitting there, the frum lady, and she has her long sleeves, and she has everything else, all sneers. And the next desk over is the lady who's not as frum, or not yet frum. And she's obviously not so sneers. Kafi, the weather, right? Why should she be dressed for the winter when it's 9,000 degrees outside? So after a couple of days, you know, they have a little fan blowing the hot air around, not helping too much. And after a couple of days, the lady who's not frum turns to the frum lady and says, are you crazy? Like, what kind of oppressive religion are you in that makes you, like, it's already 100 degrees, why do you have to feel like it's 150? So he threw out the question to the girls and whoever it was, and he said, what would be the answer? If you were in that situation, how would you answer that question? Anyone want to take a stab at it?
It's so hot.
Okay, but why? What does mechayiv you to dress pitzias when it's boiling hot to cover yourself up? What's exactly? How would you explain that to someone who can't understand it? When it's freezing, we all understand it. Or it's not so hot. Okay, but what type of oppressive religion do you have? Well, so basically, he says as follows. He says, really, Satsopashi should answer her. Should change the subject. Now, don't get into the discussion. But for yourself, when you're going to go home, or the girl's going to go home herself, and she starts thinking, Taka, what's pshat? Do I have a good answer for myself? Forget the other person. How do I answer myself? So he said as follows. He said that the Gra, and it's, I think the Gra, even the beginning of Eros or Kehelis, I don't remember which one it is exactly. I think it's Kehelis. But the Gra explains as follows. There's different things in the world. Where there's man is Medaber, under him is Chai, animals, under him is Semeach. You have the things that grow. And then you have the Daimon, which is the inanimate things. So he says as follows. The Gra says that a Semeach is a plant. A flower, a plant. Semeach, so what do they do? A tzemeach doesn't really move a lot. It really stays where it's planted. It doesn't move around much. However, it needs to drink, and you need to feed it for it to grow. So the Gra says tzemeach is the kayach of taiva. Person has a taiva for eating and drinking and food. That's a tzemeach. It needs it to exist. Above that is the animals. Is the chai. Now a chai, besides being also have the kayach ha-taiv, it also needs to eat and needs to drink. However, it also moves around. It also has in it its tava of things that it has to go and accomplish, so to speak, or what its natural instincts of the animals are. So the Gra says that's the kayach of gaiva. It's also more of a kayach of gidul, also to a certain extent of growth, but it's the kayach of, it has a personality, so to speak. That's the kayach of gaiva. Animals have personality. Flowers, people talk about them as having personalities, but really, when you talk to your flower, it has a personality, but really they don't really have personalities to them, but animals have the personality. And then there's man, specifically Klal Yisrael. We have in us the Kayach HaTaiva. We have in us the Kayach HaGaiva. We're not animals. Why? Because we have on top of that a Neshama. We have a Neshama which is the Chelek HaLekamimau. It's not something from this world. It's not an Inyan Gashmi. It's an entirely different thing. It's an Inyan Ruchni that gets put into man, like we've spoken about this other times also. So he says, if you would ask a person who never, and we're not blaming anyone here, we're just saying the facts. Someone who doesn't have ruchnius in their lives. So you'll ask them, why do you work? Because I need to make money. What do you need to make money for? So I could eat. So I could grow. So I could thrive. What do you need to thrive for? So you could work. Why do you work? To make money. To do what? You're back in the same Gilgal HaChazer. So it's back and forth. A person who doesn't have any ruchnius in their life, so a lot of their life is just ruled by taiva. Let's look around the world. If there's no ruchnius, there's no taiva, there's no mitzvahs, there's a lot of taiva going out there. Do you need a neshama if all you are about taiva? Well, the guy says, my yisrin la'odam sheyamol tachas hashamesh. Shemesh, he says, is the neshama. My yitzur la'adam sheyamol tachas hashamesh. What's the yetzer? What's the addition? What's special about a person if all of his work is tachas hashamesh? For everything under, from the neshama and down. For his gaiva, for his taiva. My yitzurin. What's he better than an animal? What's he better than a plant? So, Rabbi Brevda said that he was, and it became like a slogan in Eretz Yisrael, said it, and he said it in England, also became a slogan. He said that the answer would be that someone whose life just revolves around taiva, so what are they? What's taiva? No, below that.
There's
a plant. So his lesson was, it's a tomato. He decided to pick tomato as the example of something that all it is taiva. Could have been any plant. So he said, someone who's a tomato, Taka doesn't eat long sleeves. There's no Indian for it. What's the issue of long sleeves for a tomato? If that's what you're defined as a someone who doesn't have the neshama helping them out. But he says, if you realize, I, the lady, should realize that she has a neshama. A neshama is something from a different world. A neshama can't, and a neshama truthfully has tsar in this world. A neshama can't be soivel, it can't suffer and handle things that are not tznius. It can't handle it. It can't handle pritzos. It can't handle being uncovered, so to speak. So he said, his lashon was in Ivrit was atagvania. You're a tomato. Vagvania lo tzichash avelim arukim. And a tomato doesn't need long sleeves. And in England it was a tomato, whatever it was. But he said he met a he said this asayis to make tshuva, and he met a couple walking that Shabbos, and the man came over. Oh, you're the one who said my daughter should answer. She's not a tomato. It became like throughout Yerushalayim that this is the answer to say. When you're a tomato, you taka don't need long sleeves. You can taka be undressed. So a tomato doesn't have to get dressed. If it's hot, let it be undressed. When a person realizes they have a neshama, a chelik alikam himal. Like, we said this a different time. A neshama is like a malach. I'm a malach. A malach is inyan ruchni. It's a whole different story. It's an entire different story. And I'm going totally off track from what I started here with the Tzivus Amunah. But this is the insight to understand that I am a neshama. And a neshama is not an animal, and it's not a plant. And therefore, I have to act differently. And that's Klal Yisrael being a chelik alikam imal. That's in Shavuos, we call ourselves Mamleches Kehanim V'Goy Kaddish, Hashem says. We're Malachim, we're kings, we're royalty. Royal people act different than non-royals. Royal people, there's a certain way that they act. I once saw a story I printed in one of my svarim that the Queen of England once came, actually, say it backwards, Margaret Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister of Great Britain, well? I said the story already once?
No.
Oh, so I didn't know the story. Oh, yeah? So, she once came to a state dinner with the Queen of England, and they were wearing the same outfit. So it was like a big bizayon. How could you wear the same thing that the Queen's wearing? And the papers had a party the next day. It was like plastered everywhere. What a bizayon to the Queen. And Lamaisa, so the Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister, she sent a letter of apology to the Queen. You know, maybe when we're going to go to same affairs, I'll have to check in to see what the Queen's wearing, not to have this problem again. And she got back a letter from the Secretary of the Queen that said very simply as follows. The Queen does not notice what other people wear. Coming to apologize to the Queen. She didn't even... Now, you have to remember, Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister of Great Britain. There's no doubt in my mind, I wasn't there, but there's no doubt in my mind she talked to her. I don't say talk big state secrets or anything there, but they were together. This was they're both at two highest positions in Great Britain, in England. And yet, the Queen does not notice what other people... That means to say that such a yisayin in Malchus. The Queen has to talk to people. She has to be Isaac with people. But at the end of the day, it's not on her radar screen how they're acting, what they're wearing, what they're doing. And that's what it means to be a melech, or to be a malka, to be mamleches kainim. We also have to live in this world. We don't always live in ghettos. There were times that we did. Klaisel Zalad Mosam, Klaisel Mosam. But in Gaulis, we live amongst the Goyim. And unfortunately, we're mushba from the Goyim in everything and anything about ourselves. That's the Matthias. But it's all like a b'diavad. It's all like not the way it's supposed to be. If we are malachim, if we are kings, if we're royalty, so we live amongst them, we talk to them, we shop with them, we do a lot of things with them. But at the end of the day, it has to be that the Queen does not notice what other people wear. That's the aside of being understanding that Klal Yisrael is different because we have a neshama chelik elikam imal. So back to the Sefer. So if a person is misbinding in this, there's so many things that a person could bring him to Amuna. He brings a pasuk, Mipsari echsa leika, that from my boser, from my flesh, I can see Hashem. From all different ways and all different studies and all different types of oifanim, Klal Yisrael has came to the Yisoid of Amunah, and we have our Amunah. And in the next paragraph, I'm not going to read each and every single paragraph inside, but in the next paragraph he says that Emunah of Kla Yisrael has gone through, he says in the first line, L'irak b'mivchan shel dam v'esh. Not only have we gone through the test of blood and fire, what other Emunah, what other religion has gone through the test of blood, the way that the Kla Yisrael's blood has been shed throughout the Doiris, through the fires of all the different Tzaras that Kla Yisrael has gone through, and the Emunah still comes out on the other end, the next door is keeping it, Kla Yisrael, those same people are keeping it. We've gone through, our Emunah has gone through the test of Mesiras Nefesh, of Dam Va'esh. But not only that, he says, it's gone through, it's also nitshefa, has been purified, bikur hachakira, hafilisafia, vabikairis, viyotza, mechushels, and mechuzenis bizarra. It's gone through every type of the philosophers have gone through it. There's, he brings the Rambam, and he's from the Gadol HaChokrim, and from the great minds in the Rambam and Meir Nevuchim, what he goes through, and they've been and Shmaya Frakim, all the different things where the Rambam goes through and talks about Emunah, and Ibn Ezra, he also went through in his Eifen, all different types of Gedolim have gone. And Rabbi Yehuda Levi says, who went through B'Tarashir V'Regesh, they've gone through, so to speak, and tested our Emunah, and whichever derech they went, they all ended up at the same conclusion, as he says, that it came out, M'chusenes B'Zara, that it came out shining, came out with a path with flying colors, whatever test it was put to. So all the tests that it could go through, and again, we're not afraid to even try and test our Emunah to see and to make sure that it's strong for those who have doubts in it. But it's gone through every single type of test. And he continues in the next paragraph and he says, Ulam yesh la'adchim en shvili yechidim l'derech harabim. There's paths for individuals and there's a way for the rabbim, for the rabbim to go. Olamenu nivra kach, sh'af ki kvoidei malei olam, misharsav sh'olam zeh lazeh ayeh mekayim kvoidei. It's a play on words, but he's saying, kvoidei malei olam, even though Hashem's covenant is throughout the world, but misharsav, those who serve Him, sh'olam zeh lazeh, they ask each other, ayeh mekayim kvoidei, where is it? Which means to say that gedolim, misharsim, tzaddikim have gone through Emunah and asked, where is it? And come and gone through it and tested it and asked questions and proved it. Mivlili kanis ben haram gedolim. Das rabbeinu arishayim al hakira filosofia kisiyua lechizek amuna ashleima. Even though, he says, I don't want to get into and talk with about the big tzaddikim, the haram gedolim, the big mountains. Hare kula maidim keinam rak yisoid moisav letzem amuna. No one should think that amuna is, you have to go through the whole chakira. You have to go through the whole philosophy. And that's how you have to come out at the end with the Emunah. No. Everyone agrees, even those who have done that, it's only a yesod myself. It's an addition. Ve'eino kim nachlas echidim bovad. Those ways are for individuals. Ulumasa yesh derech ha-melech ha-klusha l'rabim. And that's why Chayvus Halavavus, Shar HaYichud, the first parak, we don't learn Shar HaYichud, most people don't learn at least, the Hamaynam doesn't learn it. There the Chayvus Halavavus also goes out to prove Emunah. But that's not for the Rabbin. That's not for the Rabbin. Certain Gedolim, who were so strong in their Emunah to start, when they're going to go through it, so they're just going to be adding notches, so to speak, into their Emunah, perhaps. But for someone who's not so sure of themselves, it's a very dangerous way to go. If you're going to go with chakira, it's not such a simple way. But for, that's not to say we ask anyone for any blind belief here. We're not asking to just believe it without thinking at all. No. There is a derech hamelech hakvusha l'rabim. There's a paved highway. That's for the people to go. L'chol adam Yisrael. Hamechayevet es kolecha v'shiyitva es al musa mimeno. Everyone's obligated to follow this road. A person is going to be asked why he did not go there. V'alei yidubar l'halon. And that's what we're going to refer to. if you're from the people who could go and go through the Ben Ezra, go through the Chayvus Halavavis, go through the Rambam, that's philosophy, those are Chakiras, those are certain, those are Mahalchim, no one's taking it away. But it's not for the Hamainam, it's not for the majority of Klal Yisrael. Shairish Amuna Yisraelis, ain't Safik.
If you want to know what is the major foundation of our Amunah in a way that it destroys all tzveikas, all doubts, that's the key. The key is that it's a Messiah. It's a legacy that has been given over to us by our fathers. Messiahs hadairis v'kabbalas dar midar. Zel yisoid ha-yisoidus. This is the foundation of foundation. Atzmiyas v'amuna. Shemikan hi markiya shchokim. V'yachan im zeh hi gam shuto shovel l'chol nefesh. On one hand, we have the amuna here, which if a person is able to go up into the heavens and see things and understand things, they could be on the most highest madregas and have unbelievable madregas in Amunah. But at the same time, together with it, there's a simple explanation for it. If someone's not a philosopher, if someone's not a great thinker, which most people are not necessarily that, they're not going to be able to go through an Ibn Ezra and a Chayvus Halavavis. So how are they going to come to Amunah? Is Emunah only for people who are the big thinkers in Klal Yisrael? No, there's Emunah Pshuta. Emunah Pshuta does not mean blind faith. And we'll see what that means. But there's a simple way of understanding it. Shavil l'chol nefesh muvenes l'chol ish Yisrael anoshim noshim v'tah. Emunah hashleima tmima. This complete, perfect Emunah. How Emunah hamamoshes hakvua. What is this clear and established Amunah? It's not something that anyone can make their own additions to. Certain Messiahs, certain religions, as it goes through the Dairus, everyone puts in their 2 cents and that becomes part of the religion. That becomes part of the Messiah. That's not our Messiah. You can't add to it, you can't detract from it. And you don't have it in bold here, is it? Have in bold Hiyamuna?
No.
No, okay. Hiyamuna here, this is in this new print of it, which I have, that I got off the computer. He puts the following number of lines in bold, because this is the aside of the entire thing. Hiyamuna shesharasha v'atzchalasa b'riya. It's Amuna. Amuna sounds like faith.
Oh, it's in like italics.
It's in italics?
It's like in a different font.
Yeah? Yeah. Shesharasha v'atzchalasa b'riya. Its root and its beginning was not in someone's dreams. It wasn't someone came in a dream, someone woke up in the morning, and this is what happened. It starts off with Riya. We were eyewitnesses. Riya mamish, v'hakara gemura. And it wasn't a seeing in a dream, and it wasn't a trance. It was hakara gemura b'chol hachushim uchli havchona agashmiyah. It was Klal Yisrael recognizing clearly, completely, with every facet of their body, with every keli, every tool that was given to them in their physical body, they saw the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Hasichliyim v'aruchanim ayim the Rishus Olam. Whether it's their neshama, whether it's their seichel, everything that a person has, the facilities he has to understand things, it was seen and clear to them, this Amunah. And through this clear seeing, noista huknisa hisbasa vishtar shamuna buma Yisraelis. This is the foundation, and this how became a part of us. This was the shayrish of Emunah and Klal Yisrael. B'darishan l'maminim b'Hashem u'v'moshe avdoi. It was that first generation that it says in the pasuk v'aminu b'Hashem u'v'moshe avdoi. They were the dar mekavli hater v'maimin har Sinai. That same Torah was given over from generation to generation. The tzifus built in Ifsekes straight without a stop. Adereinu anu v'tanoim v'oifen uv'tzura hamahavim akara brura v'emes hachotis was given over to us until our generation, and it was given over in a way that clarity is still there. That emes achlatis, that definite truth, is still there. Zuhi zehu ha'aluf beis b'teres ha'yadus. This is the aluf beis in yadus. Goluya mefursim l'kol. This is something really, if you ask anyone, they know about it. Ulam b'tzara pirsum motzei gam ha'aluf. But at the same time, as much as people could, so to speak, talk the talk, or they know about it, but there's a lot there that's not so clear. It's supposed to be the clearest thing, and yet it's not, because in a way it's so simple, people don't think about it at all. So Markowitz says that unfortunately in our dar, in our time, we're mizalzel in this. In this Yisayid of Amuna, people just mitzvah mother. It's common. You just know it and you do it and that's it and you say it. However, it's not enough just to say it. This yisoid has to be clear to the person. This is what emuna is. Ulaz karis yisoid gadol makiv ze akamash yad akosef yarkei binyanim amukim elam agas. And through mentioning this yisoid and what surrounds it and what's behind it, the writer, he says yad akosef yarkei binyanim amukim elu. He says I'm really a weak hand in these deep things. As far as I'm going to be able to write, but kamashim is gerizum avsheres, and as far as this whole kuntris, this misgaris allows me misyachtu advarim haboim baze amaimer toich mesiris meido she'ein midvarim halolu midigar miklum. Number one, he says I'm not saying anything on my own. Elohim zivrei likut misifra abiseinu akadmoinim utok musbaran lepom misafam adabaris. It's everything I got from sifrei rabiseinu. Sometimes I put them in a little bit more understandable for our dar. But there's nothing new that I'm saying here. But I'm coming to explain this yisoid, the Aleph phase of Emuna. And he starts now Perek Sheni. Eidus Ne'emana, and it's in Yonah the Yayma, next week Shavuos, so this is Maimon Har Sinai. Mekubul umutskom bekerev hamin ha'anushi kuloi, laham le'edus habriyas. Someone would tell you, why do I need to believe? L'maisa, I was not there by Har Sinai. Yeah, my neshama, I know the whole Torah. My neshama was there at Har Sinai. I know everything. But at the end of the day, it's not something I really recall. I don't recall it. I don't have a postcard that I was there. Nothing. So what is... What?
That question.
Sure.
Okay, when people ask that, though, do they really believe it? Because they still see, like, they still see the truth. Like, they can still see it.
So therefore what?
But do they really believe that?
Like, when they ask that I wasn't there?
Ask it, yeah.
Well, if they ask them, if they really believe it. Usually, if things that are very... Hopefully, when we finish with this, we'll see. It should be very clear. But sometimes people talk and don't believe it. I don't know. Sometimes it's the Yetzer Hara telling the person not to believe it, because if you believe it, then you have obligation. That could be also. I'm sure there's all types in the world. Whenever they ask it. So he says, so he'll say, you want me to believe? I don't believe. Who's Mechayev me to believe anything? So he says, the first insight is that it's Mekubal Muskim Bekarav Amina Anushi Kulay. In the entire world, forget Jews, in mankind, it's an accepted thing that you believe what other people say happened. The chukas hamishkat kala amim, any court of law, mistamchim al edim lachter kolben. How do you know things happened? So what do? You call a witness. I don't believe it. So how could you believe anything? So this. An automatic in the system of mankind, there is a concept of believing other people. You'll put a person to death because of the testimony of someone. And this is a very important thing. Our whole life is based on believing different things. Now, the more something, Rav HaPirsum, the more something is Meforsum, it's public, and the more something it has Haskamas B'nei Ha'adam, that everyone agrees to it. So, Ba'oisa Mida, exactly the same amount, Tigoda HaVadois, it makes it more definitely true. If a million people, if I tell you I flew here from down the block,
So you'll say, I'm crazy, I don't believe you. If I tell you 100 people saw me flew, and 100 people here come say eight that I flew, did you end up seeing me fly? No. But if 100 people come and tell you that I flew here, see, you're going to go down the block and tell someone else, you know what, he flew here. Did you see it? No, but I know what happened. How do you know? Because 100 people watched it happen. So the more something's the foursome, and the more people agree to it, so what happens is it becomes vada, it becomes definitely true. At kidei hashvua amitis dvarim, to a point the person will make a shvua that it's true. How do you know that there's a country called Japan? How do you know? You were ever there? Do you know anyone who was ever there? Maybe yeah, maybe not. One person. It's a million people who were never there. There's 100 of your friends were never there. One person was there. They told you that they were there. So, but 100 people say they know nothing about it. You know nothing about it. How do you know? Because the world, there's a billion people there, or China, wherever they are. Japan has a lot of people too. There's people who have been there and seen it, and they come back and they told it to you. So it becomes true. You could make a Shavuot today that there's a country called Japan, although you never saw it, and you were never there. And you may not even know anyone who was there. But you know that there's a place. So we're going to say, okay, you're stupid, because you believe things. See, you believe things, right? You see? It becomes a vada. Because there's enough eyewitnesses who were there who have said that it happened. Now, and they told someone, and they told someone, so to speak. And Mamela, the whole world knows that there's this place. And you'll make a shvu that certain things even happened. That there was an earthquake there. How do we know? Who knows? Okay, now there's one of that we can watch on the internet, and you can watch this, and there's all these, well, who says, you know, it can all be doctored too, it's all made up, it was all in Hollywood, someone made this whole thing and finished. Terence says, there's certain things that are just givens. Why? Because there's enough people who have seen it and agree that it happened. This vados comes to a point that a person almost could say as if he saw it. As if it makes sense. I don't need to be in Japan to say there's a country. I know it as if I was there. Im yakum ben adam v'yitzen. So a person will get up and say, "Minayin li abi takan shayisu mechama b'olam." How do I know there was ever a war in the world? Harei ve'ein I lo risia. I never saw it. Rak sipurim shamati. I heard about this. I heard stories about a war. We talk about China. You talk about Haidu is one of them is Japan. Now Haidu China is in Japan. Laisi Shama, right? All right. No. Yeah. That's the name of the country.
I don't know.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah.
India,
right. India, sin is, and sin is what? China? Okay, of Kamina. We weren't at any of those places, as far as I know. Anyone was at any of those places? No. No? Okay. Well, Laisi Shama. None of us were there. And I don't have any feeling that I have to trust your stories. Maybe you're lying. None of the Rosh. If someone tells you that, you'll nod your head. You'll know that there's something, a couple of things that are loose up there. If someone talks like that, you'll say, Nebuch. Right? He doesn't realize that there's certain things in the world. So you'll say, okay, alright, I agree to you. Things that are going on in the world right now, fine, decided it. Then I agree to all these countries. But I don't agree to things that happened in the past. I agree to history. Barulanu, Kihaya, Hayu Akitsarim, Napoleon, Alexander, Mike Stein, there are certain historical facts that everyone agrees to. There was a Caesar, Napoleon, and Alexander. Mikre historia mufursamim he vadalis mukhatas beinenu. Certain things are definite. Now, how do we know? Maybe it's all made up. Maybe it's all made up. Which is possible. Something that is a complete sheker. A story that's a complete sheker will only last a certain amount of time. But if for hundreds of years everyone's talking about the Emperor Napoleon, you could be assured that there was an Emperor Napoleon.
It's not very logical that an entire large group, his door after door, is just following the same untruth. What? One second. Of lo yimser sheker livanoi, v'dar shalom lo yivade kazav miliboy v'yatzigen lamis v'imsanu l'dar habar. Now it is true that sometimes the details on the way. Is he going to say this? Oh, he's going to say that in a second. So certain things that are totally a totally made up story, the derech klal won't be now. Sometimes you have legends and things like that. But certain things, those things aren't accepted by everyone. They're not accepted by everyone. Certain things are given. You don't have too many people who don't believe that there was a George Washington. You don't have too many people. Whether you cut down the cherry tree or whatever tree it was over there, that's probably a made-up story. That's probably a made-up story. But that he existed, right, we agree to that. Right, everyone agrees to that. Now, you're not going to find people in the world who are not agreeable to certain facts of the world are given up. Certain happenings in the world. Umma v'karisei, talking about different nations. And different nations, things that happen to them. Certain things are unsure. Certain things are doubtful. A lot of times those are given over as not based in fact. Haggadah is Haggadah, is the stories, given over the stories. Whether Napoleon or whether George Washington saw that guy lighting the Hanukkah candle or something, right? Some type of story like that. Who knows? But there was a George Washington, and he was by the Delaware, and he crossed it, whatever he did over there, right? He was there. Whether he got there, they say it's a story, he saw the lighting thing, and he got his whole kayak, he was ready to give up, and he got his whole strength from there. I doubt the story happened. I see, he's changed the story already. Right? Depends which religion you're in. Right? No, the Hanukkah candle, the Jewish soldier. Yeah. No, the soldier was Jewish. No, he was not Jewish. I don't know. From where? No, not the Little Midrash says. From like, I don't know, one of those chicken soups. You know, what's that other one called? Yeah, there you go. Small miracles. Yeah, one of those types of stories. So, Baba Meister, right. So, but there's certain things that are facts. Hamachleikas chola rak b'biurim shel marais. The difference is what happened. B'sibay suvimim shekadmu lahem. Ki behem ein al piroid misayor fearsim pumbi. Things that are not necessarily as public. The details of a lot of these stories weren't necessarily public. So therefore, when they're going to start being given over, it's all hearsay. So you're going to have sfeikas, you're going to have doubts whether the details, whether this story did happen, this story didn't happen. But certain things are public things. Things that are public, that have been given over to the public. Is there? You don't know? Okay. To lemivchan gali shalat tzibur v'adar. If it's given over to the test of the tzibur, of the public, and to the generation, those things, if they're false, they're not going to go to the next generation. Or if they do, they're not going to make it very far. Certain things go over. So we have already established that a lot of just mankind is based on belief. It's not blind belief. It's belief that is so clear that it leads to things that are definite. Now, obviously, you'll be willing to make a shvua probably quicker that there's a Japan than that there was a Napoleon. Because maybe you make a basis that there was a Napoleon. But there is madregas in this entire concept that he's saying, but the concept exists. And he continues. Kol maseches chayenu miroibas ha'anofim yusedet alaskamu mesoris. Really, our day in, day out, daily living is based on these type of ideas. Onu mevatoim aleph betzlul yadua. We read the letter aleph, and we know exactly how it sounds. Maybe it's the wrong way of pronouncing an alf. Maybe every alf is supposed to be b, like a base. We know that. We don't really know. What? Right, that's why it's not something that should be thought about. Because so we're all supposed to be just accepting of everything. It's not the reason is not because we're just so dumb and we can't go crazy.
I don't know. Am I a person? Maybe I'm not a person. Maybe
it's all a dream.
Okay, so
what does Hashem want from mankind, obviously? What does mankind want from itself? Certain things are just are, right? We're leading up. Certain things are a given. What?
So even A, it makes sense of an A because everybody
accepted
it. A.
Okay. Well, maybe in the last generation they decided it was a B and someone changed. No one cares. That could be also. Okay, let's continue. Where is it so definite? Who I marry, so you'll answer. Kabbalah's Dharmi Dharma Sarah Zabis. This is what they told us. This is my father told me and his father told him, and that's it.
If a
person thinks about, there's so much that we take as a given and we build on it. Especially when you get into studying things into different subjects, every generation is yairish something from the generation before, and they add on another layer of bricks, so to speak, and then they claim that they make the world more advanced, which is possible. They build on the last door, but they build on those foundations. If you have one brilliant guy get up and say, you know what? I want to start from new. I don't want to have any prior knowledge of anything. So Namarloi will tell him, Bivakasha. Why are you wearing clothing? Right? If you want to start from new, well, the Marishan Kaidim Achet, there was no clothing. He got afterwards when he found out he didn't have clothing, so he put on Alei Teina. He didn't know how to make any clothing. Who taught him how to make clothing? So if you want to start from new, the first thing is go find some leaves from a Teina tree, and that'll be your first clothing. Right? You don't want anything. He must have on him. No, how did Adam Arisha make a fire? Somehow Hashem gave him the chachma to strike two rocks together, stones together. Hey, fire. So listen, there's no matches for you, and there's no anything else, no lighters for you. Start. You want to start from nothing. The covers the Roskubi Morrison Tikas Flan. Go out to the hills, and go out to the caves, and start off over there. That's where you want to live. Ulam Yisayd Chai Isha Tarbasu. Obviously, that's not the way it is. That's a wild man's going to live like that. He called Dar Yerish is Kaidmai, Umaisin Midvacham, Isayd Shikibal Batei Rasha. So we all have that. In every aspect of our lives, we're building on what we were taught before. We could advance it, we could make it better, we could change things, we could learn new things. Sometimes we say that they were wrong, but it's because they said something, and we tested it, and we decided something differently. We're all building on things from before. And that's the way we also have all historical happenings of Shabbat Malayna with Piyash Mul Bavad, even though we just heard it. The truth of these things, we act according to them in certain instances, and they become a way of life. Umidas havadoi shal meseris tigdul oy yoiser shoshi meseris dvar matzrichi samtus vakrov lekaima inyan shetiva shal adam isnagid lekach. A thing becomes more definite, number one, if it's something that you have to use daily, if you have to constantly live it, so then it has to be very clear to you. And if it teaches you how to live and it teaches you what you're supposed to do, so that means I'm living my life according to something. I didn't believe it was true, so what's making me live that way? I don't need to know the rules of, I don't know, calculus every moment of the day. I don't need to know, I'll give some other good examples, I don't know, something in physiology, everything good, every moment of the day. So, my life doesn't necessarily revolve around physiology, right? Except for the next couple of weeks, right? But certain things teach me how to live. And I have to live that way. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. And expect Torah. Right? This is where we're going to leading up to this. And not only that, especially if it's something that really my teva, tibbe shalodom, naturally, instinctively, a person should not want to do it. Kigain. Deyais, Yisnagiais, whether we're talking about how a person should act, a person should think. Marsonis es ha'adam, it muzzles a person. Uvli hachrich v'akar brura lehaya mekavlan. I just had fleisha, I just had a steak, now I want to have ice cream, a milchaga ice cream. That's what I mean. I'm in the mood, it's very good, it's very gishmak. I want butter on top of my steak. That's what my stomach tells me, that's what my taiva tells me. So what's stopping you from doing it? What's stopping you? It's not something that's for you to be able to not do it against what your natural instinct is. It smells so good, it looks so good, it tastes so good, at least that's what they say. So why don't you do it? It has to be something that's very clear that's stopping you. You have to have a belief that what's telling you not to do it is something worthwhile. Because if not, forget it. Why am I interested? I want to do certain things on Shabbos. I want to turn on the lights. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to text. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. But I don't do it. Why not? What's stopping you from doing it? It has to be something very clear. Someone comes up and tells you, listen, you know, it's the new in thing not to do this on one day a week, or not to eat these two things together. It's the new thing. I love it. What?
People don't do things because it was it is also. They,
yeah.
So I'm saying, like, many people do things with
belief,
but, like...
Okay. So therefore what? But their whole entire life is not revolving around it. They'll have one thing. They won't go under the ladder, right? They'll have black cats. They'll get off of it, right? But a whole life of living with, we don't want to call them restrictions, but for what your goof is telling you to do, and what the whole time, and if you're a tomato, you have no problems doing, right? This is day in, day out. This is not, if a person gets sick of the superstition, they're going to say, forget it. You know what I mean? I'll try it once. I went under the ladder, you know, okay, a fluke, twice, three times, but put it to the test, you know, after a while, we'll be done and finished, come on, right? If let's say their taiva is for so much, and you know what? Sometimes there'll be a taiva that's greater than the superstition.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll try it, I'll put butter on my steak.
No, you're not allowed to do it. Yeah.
Same. Nothing happens.
So? But we don't. But we don't do it. What's stopping you from doing it? So what's stopping you from doing it? Because you know it's wrong. Because you know it's not the right thing. You know that's not what the Torah wants from you. It's not something that you need to test.
No, I'm saying like for the ladder, the superstition.
I'm just no. I'm just saying a concept.
No, that, I'm just not saying. But if the point is that you're making is that if you do it and nothing happens to you, it must not be true.
No, I didn't say that. I said the person themselves. She's saying they're superstitious people and there's frum people. So what's really the difference? Each one's following their code, so to speak, right? And each one is holding back from what they want to do because of a certain thing. So I said that the superstition is not, and I can't say a rule, but it's very possible that it's not strong enough that the taiva will override it and they'll try it out because they want the other thing on the other side. They need to get to the other side. And then after a while, it'll be bustled. You could do the same thing in Yiddishkeit too. You're saying it's not the taiva. We aren't walking around doing that. If you'll take the poll of people, why? Because we know this is not what we're supposed to be doing. You're right. We've said this over many times. You'll do it. You're not going to get struck down by lightning. I can come out, promise you. Right? That's the Ramban tells us. The Ramban in Parshas Bo tells us. Hashem doesn't make mitzvahs every time. Some tippish walks up and says, right, that was the bushel with the dancer, right? The same idea. Once you have your diploma, right, you don't have to show that to every single person who doesn't believe you that you know how to dance, you know how to sing. I proved it to the biggest pekiyah. The Baruch Hashem already proved that he runs the world. He already proved that he created the world. He already proved he'll punish Rishayim, right? So one guy's going to wake up one day and say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. There's a diploma. There's a Torah that already explains it. So but the idea is that there's so much that we are all, and this is part of the thinking about it. We're all doing it. We're all not doing it soon, hopefully. For sure not be mazed. And we're all controlling ourselves most of the time in the time is to do Isurim. And why? What? Where? So this is what we're trying to bring out here. Again, it's nothing really new, hopefully. But if you have the Hakara, that obviously there's some greater thing here that's telling you, stop. Don't do it. But my time is endless. You're ready, time is endless. But there's something stopping you. And if that's happening day in and day out, and it's against what's the teva of a person, if it wasn't b'lihachich v'akara b'ruh l'ayim mekablon, if it wasn't a clear thing, it wasn't a definite thing, why would I do it? Why do I need something restricting me? That's not, and that's really what the Yetzirah is. The Yetzirah means a lack of restrictions. A lack of restrictions. The Gemara tells us that there was a machlaikas. When does the Yetzirah come into a person? So one mandama wanted to say, I think turns true if it's a rush or someone asked someone else. So he said, when the person is created in the mother's womb, the Yetzirah comes in. When else? So the other one says, no, it can't be. Because, im kein, if that'll be true, hu bayit b'yotze, the child will kick its way out of the mother's stomach. So must be, when the child is getting ready to be born, it moves its way, the birth canal, to get out. So then, that's when the Yetzirah comes in. So one of the big Bali Musa says, I don't understand this. What do you mean? If there be Yetzirah in the child, in the mother's womb, he wouldn't want to stay in there, he'd want to kick his way out. There's a very simple concept that if you can't relate to something, you don't have a taiva for it. If you don't know that there's some food in, back to Japan, there's some food there that you don't know about it. Do you have a taiva for that food? I know nothing about it. I was never there and never saw it. If I go there and I see it, so then maybe I could relate to it. So a child's in the mother's womb. It was never in this world. But it wants to come out and eat ice cream. Well, what does it want here? It was never in this world. Why would the Yetzirah want it to come out here? Well, what kind of Yetzirah is that? And the Taras of Amutzer says is, they're making a mistake. Yetzirah just means, I want to be free. I want to be without any restrictions. If I'm stuck here in my mother's womb, I want out. It's not because I want to be there, because I don't want to be here. And he says, this Baal Musar, he says, the Taras of Avraham, he says that that's why you'll see that a baby is always kicking their hands and feet all over the place. Why are they kicking their hands and feet? No, because all they have is the Yetzirah, and they have no das to control it. They have no das to stop it. As a person grows, their seichel grows bigger, so then they realize if they're letting the Yetzirah take control of them, they're kicking and they're 10 years old, they're 20 years old, and they're flying their hands this way or that way. Well, it's a little weird. So the person trains himself, Yetzirah, be quiet.
So when a baby turns like 6 months,
did
you say
you should
be quiet because they can control their arms and legs?
They're not really controlling it that much either by 6 months. As the dad comes, they start getting
dads.
What do you mean?
Because
it means they don't want to be restricted. It's the Yetzirah without anything there. I don't want to be... If you tighten them up and they tighten them real... If you swaddle them, but if you hold them in your hand, they jump around. Why are they jumping around? Not because they have dads to jump around.
Okay.
This is, he's telling you why. Because all they are pure Yetzer Hara. Not in a bad way. They're not doing it on Paris. Not running and stealing. Right? They're not, you know, whatever they're not doing. But all they are is pure. I just want to be free. Free means nothing touch me. Don't restrict me. Of course, deep down, there's a little neshama in there that wants to be swaddled, and it's very comfortable in geshmak to be that way. And it reminds itself of being in the mother's womb, v'chulu v'gaymer. However, that's what he says. That is the aside of pure yetzer, is lack of restriction. I want to be cheres. That's not true chayrus, but that's the freedom of the Yetzirah, is to do whatever it wants. So therefore, if a person didn't have the understanding of his hakara being definite, lahem mekablon, if he had any little doubt about the truthfulness, what does he need it for? What do I need it for? It's hard. No one's saying chayrus is the easy thing. No one's saying restrictions are easy. So it has to be that it's true. This is what he means, mitzvah sanashim milumaza. This is what he meant, that this whole thing to us is by rote. Do we ever think of this? Myself I'm talking to. Do you ever think about this? Tire is hard, things are hard. So did I ever translate to the fact that maybe it's definitely true and that's what's telling me to do it? We just take it as it is. It is a tire, it is a rabbi shalom, it's hard and we have to do it with zehu. We don't use it to be magdal and think about it for a moment. Why are so many generations doing the same mitzvah of Basar B'Challah? Why are so many generations going through this Mishigas? Tzairah is not a Mishigas. It's Tyra. It's Emes. This is the Emes of the Emes that the Rabbanu Shalom gave us.
Yeah, but other religions don't.
Don't what?
They don't think of that. Okay, we'll get to everything.
And then if you think about it, besides this is the day-to-day living, think about how it was given to us. When it was given over to us, number one, it comes along with an elevation, it comes along that it was weighed, the diktuk, people have gone through it. And not only that, loisak bada kol tag v'tag. Tell when a person's careful in mitzvahs, the diktuk ha mitzvahs, the diktuk in Torah that goes from generation to generation, to be makbid, to be careful. Kol tag v'tag is just a play on words of every crown, of every letter that there is in the Torah. L'charada v'avchanam b'chol ziyah v'kemat. And a fear of any little change, any little movement. B'chol prat u'prat. So number one is when you think about the oifen was given over, there's no changes in the Torah. There's not adarab of anything. We've gone through and we found more things to be extra nizhar in and extra careful and more things to take upon ourselves. Not really more, it's really more things than the simple chat. But if you look back, everyone was really being medactic in different types of things. The text, the way of doing mitzvahs, right? If in Europe, for example, you think they had an esrog? How many esrogim do they have in Europe? Dalit minim. The Meshech Chachma writes somewhere in Tough Race, something or another. Maybe it was, I think it was during the First World War, 1916 or something. They didn't have all dalit minim. They only had three minim. And now every little kid has dalit minim. There's certain things when we think about it. In a way, it's not because it was their fault, but the diktuk harav, we don't say, you know what, okay, my grandfather only had one set of dalaminim for the whole city, that's the Messiah. No, we want to build on it, we want to do, if we could, I don't say better than them, because there wasn't b'chaylas, but we're not going to say, well, if they only had one, so that's the halacha now, only one. No, we'll go back to say, the Torah wants everyone to have it if it's possible. And so on and so forth. What happens if, okay, so you weren't in China, and you're not sure if there's a China there, but millions of people have told you that there's China, or they say that there is, but you really don't know anyone who went there. But then finally your best friend goes to China, and he comes back, you know, there really is a China there. There really is a Japan. If he tells it to you, this is not just a friend. This is someone who's willing to give you everything and anything. That itself should give the person a realization of how true this is. When your friend tells you, when your best friend tells you who it is, what's going on over there, you believe it more. And especially if someone comes along and tells you, back to the Torah part of it, this is someone who's looking out for your best. They're willing to give up their life for you, that you should get the best thing. And they tell you this is Amitas Hadvarim, so then it even becomes even more real. And even more than that, even more so, what happens if a person is totally removed from life? A person is at the end of their life, and they look back on their lives, and they're reliving their lives, and then they tell you how everything is emes and everything is true, and there's a Torah. B'shoiz ben a person is free from his weaknesses of his body, he's free from his yetzahara, he's free from his negias. Person's lying on their deathbed, yes, there's still a yetzahara, but most people are pretty removed from there, and they look back, and if there was anything not true about their lives, and they don't want their children or their family or the next door to make the same mistake, this is when they're going to say, you know what, the whole thing is a fake, don't do it. And Adrab, at this point, is when Dvarim Vinyanim Kelu Amitusam Hi Vadois Gemur Muchletes Kariyam Muchishis Vakar Brura B'chol Kli Argosh Machshav V'Doim Nushus Adam. At this point, a person sees everything clearly, and when he gives over and he tells the next door that this is the proper way of going, so then again this adds on to the Vadois HaDvarim. When you put all of these things together, So then you come out with a much clearer picture how emes and how vadai and how I saw it. Because he says, this is kiriya muchashit, as if I saw the Torah being given. I know it's true. And this is, Rav Pinka says, this is what's called ani mamin ba'amuna shalema. I believe ba'amuna shalema. Amuna shalema means yediya. Complete belief means I know it, not I believe it. And then he also gives Kamat the same mashal about if your friend told you about China, he was there and he told you there's things in China, there's flying cars, the same idea. That's an imam and I believe it, but it's not belief. It's emuna shleima. I know it as if I saw it myself. Because when you put all of these things together, number one, this is our entire life is revolving around this. Punt, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, it's all of a sudden we don't believe anymore. Not we. People don't believe anymore. Really? How do you know 2 plus 2 is 2? Maybe it's 5? How do you know? No, that's a given. What's a given? What's given about it? What's a given about that there was a Napoleon? What's a given about it? Things! You know why it's a given? Because it doesn't obligate you to do anything. The minute it obligates you to do something, Yitzhara kicks in and says, Mechtaisi, I'm hungry, I want this, I want to do this, that. So he starts clouding your what should be a very clear view of how a person is contradicting themselves. They're living in a world of belief, so to speak. And the truth is, what's kfira also? Kfira is a belief too. I believe in the Big Bang. You weren't there, right? So how do you know it's true? Because that's what the scientists say. Was any scientist ever there? Every piece of information, every piece of everything screams the other way. Scientists themselves. So why do I believe in it? So you have Tainas on me, why I believe in Torah, when you also have a belief. The Beis Halevi writes about this. The Beis Halevi writes how a person, So he says, what's Yom HaDin, what's Yom HaTecheicha? He says, Yom HaDin is that a person is going to get a din for his Avera. Yom HaTecheicha is we're going to show the person himself how he's a Sphira. The person says, I had no money to give tzedakah. Okay, it's a good excuse, but you had money for this, and you had money for this extra thing, and this extra thing, and the ani came and he said, I have no money for you, and 2 minutes later you went out and bought something totally not necessary, how'd you have money for that? We're going to show a person in his own actions that he's a sira, and he brings the raya from kfira. Person says, I can't believe it, I'm sorry, I'm not from those people who are gullible to believing. Well, he said, what did you believe? I believed in kfira. It's a belief, kfira. Atheism is a belief. You believe that there's nothing. You have to believe a lot more things to be an atheist. You have to believe in gazillion coincidences that everything here just happens to work and happens to this. You believe in a lot more things that make no sense than believing in something that makes sense. But the teretz is. The teretz is because the Yetzirah is there. And the Yetzirah doesn't want you. You know why? Because it means you believe in the Torah. So what happens? Or even if he's not even a guy, he believes in Hashem, there's still an achrayus that comes along. You have to think, if God created me, now what am I supposed to be doing? What does he want from me? I can't just follow everything and do anything I want because this is what I want to do. So therefore the Yetzirah, but the truth is, they're saying, our entire life is built on quote unquote beliefs. But those are not beliefs, those are called givens. When it comes to emunah, all of a sudden becomes a belief. There's certain things that are givens in a much clearer way almost than a lot of the other things that we call givens and beliefs. When you put all of these things together, they cannot become kiriyas. If we could say we were there, we saw it, it's as clear to us as if we just as we know that there's a Japan and that there's people there and there's food there and a lot of other things there, although I was never there. It's the same idea. Yeah. Okay. We're going to stop here for today.
Thank you.
And we will continue.